to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hour of the Real Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you said you wanted to try to finish up because you have company coming.
I've already got all three grandkids here. Just to hold the callers off for just a little bit, and I'll round it out and spread a little.
Not a problem.
The kids, my wife picked them up from school yesterday. Three of them, brought them home. And I don't know, I didn't know my wife had a cocaine dealer that she knew, but when those kids got out of the vehicle, holy crap, oh my God, they were just hanging from the chandeliers. So I said, get out outside, we're going to go for a ride on the Kubota, and which is for those of you city dwellers, that would be a four-wheel drive utility vehicle. So I strapped them in, and we rode around the neighborhood. I've got one of those Bose Microlinks, and we were playing Swamp Witch Hattie and Marie Laveau, the Voodoo Queen. These kids were singing at the top of their lungs, and the neighbors were absolutely dying.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
They were having fun.
Well, man. Hey, look, if we hadn't done that, I think the steam valve would have burst. They had to blow off some steam, man. It was bizarre. I hope we get to do it again today. Sorry.
Make video next time.
Well, I'll try while I'm driving. It was the neighbors couldn't help but laugh. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, anyway. So I'm going to go quick here because I got to get out of here before
okay.
you. Callers call. Here's an interesting deal. Corn shoots. Okay, here we were talking about what you can make shoots out of. So yesterday afternoon, I started another. I got a bowl of water right here with two cups of black oil sunflower seeds in them, with a teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide. I'm getting those hulls cleaned off, getting all that fungus off there. I will smear those out after the show onto a flat with 1 inch of potting soil in it, cover it over with another flat, put a weight on it, and by tomorrow afternoon, I will have to uncover it because they will all be sprouted and up. Here's the deal. 2 weeks ago, I did this. I know you're thinking, oh, boy, do we have to talk about this again? Well, here's the deal. 2 weeks ago when we talked about this, I harvested my last flat. Off that flat, I got a pound and a half of shoots, okay? I put them in these clear plastic. I didn't wet them. I didn't wash them or anything. I left them dry. I put them in these plastic clamshells, two of them, two full, big ones, really big clamshells. They are still fine. That means that the storage life on these things can be at least 2 weeks. I'm saying that modestly. And I've been using them in salads. And on sandwiches, and I just absolutely love it. But corn shoots, now here's the deal. I watched this fascinating video by Haas Tools where the guy was growing these, and believe it or not, he got the idea from a seed company, the rep called, it was called, I think it's Sakata, or as they say it in Japan, Sakata. So what was going on there is that they were actually handing these things out at Epcot Center. So, you know, just in case you think I'm an idiot, they're giving these samples out free at a Disney Wonderland dedicated to teaching. So here's the deal. When you first bite into these shoots, apparently they taste kind of greenish, but then all of a sudden it all rotates around and they're sweet. Now, they were using seeds from sweet corn, and I don't know if that's going to make a difference, because to me it would seem like a tremendous waste of sweet corn seed. But so I will be trying with standard corn seed, and I'll see what happens. But here's the deal. You keep them in the dark. You don't expose them to light or they'll turn green. So what this guy's doing is sprouting them in a flat. Then when they sprout, he covers them with a box, and he keeps all the light off. And then after 7 to 10 days, they are bright yellow. And they're being sold as things to stir fry, for one thing. That's a big market for these things. But for sure, I'm going to try that, and I'll probably do that today or tomorrow. I'd like to have something intelligent to say about this by next Saturday, and I will certainly keep you updated. So in the meantime, we're going to grow some more black oil sunflower shoots, because those things, it's a nice nutty flavor, and I like it.
I got a question, Rick. Can sprouts be frozen and still be edible?
No, they'll turn to mush. They'll just turn to mush.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah, no, you can freeze them, but then when you thaw them out, you know, you got bad news on your hands. We're having the same problem with, I was trying to figure out how to save my celery leaves because they're so fragrant, so aromatic for cooking and that. So, you know, what I'm going to have to do, what I can do, I can freeze them. See, I can freeze them, but if I take any out, they've got to go right into a pot for cooking. You know, if I let them just thaw out, they'll turn into black mush. So, no, not really. We're also going to try some.
If you, I'm sorry, I interrupted again.
No, you're doing fine.
But I was just wondering real quick, would it make a difference if you vacuum sealed them before freezing, do you think?
Oh, gosh. I don't think anybody knows. I do have a vacuum sealer.
Well, I think I'll
try. It's certainly worth it. Well, it's worth a whack.
I'll try it.
All right. Okay. And so we're going to try the same thing with baby spinach. We're going to, you know, try a flat of that. I have really gotten fond of baby spinach in my salad, so we're going to give that a crank. I've been buying baby spinach at the store, but, you know, I don't see why I can't sprout it. Now, I did want to touch on, we could have talked about eggplants in oil, which is a tapenade, but we'll save that. Like, it is a cute little experiment. I will mention this. It suddenly occurred to me, because you can buy infused oil, you know, very infused oils infused with various things like rosemary. You can buy oil infused with this. I typically will use extra virgin olive oil. My salads are generally Mediterranean in style, so it's going to be olive oil and extra virgin olive oil in there with some kind of nuts and probably some broccoli and some form of dark green leaf. It is delicious and nutritious. But what I suddenly yesterday thought, why in the world am I not taking some oil and infusing it with onion? So I took about a pint of extra virgin olive oil, put it on the stove on low, put a red onion in it, and warmed it up, and then just let it sit there. I haven't tried it yet. I will let you know what happens. I want to brush briefly on cryptos before I got a good. There is a restaurant here in town which is famous for their salads. And they'll offer you what's called the Endless Salad Bowl. And their oil always seems to have onion in it. You know, you've got a lot of people that say, well, I don't really like onions in my salad. But with my thought on this is, if you have extra virgin olive oil, which is really healthy for you anyway, by the way, the omega-3s are great for your brain and your digestion and your weight and everything. If you've got that infused with onion, now you've got dietary sulfur and the flavors that would be absolutely perfect in a salad and maybe just for cooking in general. Anyway, I'll let you know how all that works out. I wanted to brush briefly before I go on the cryptocurrency market and or the intentional collapse of the equities market. We see that since the beginning of September when Bitcoin had a lovely run-up, it blew off and has been basically boring, for the last month or 6 weeks, whatever it is. Now it's starting to come alive again. It went up $5,000 yesterday alone, but it's taken the whole market with it. The entire market is moving with Bitcoin, which makes absolutely no sense to me, because if you want it to be in, say, Ethereum, which would be digital oil, why would digital gold have anything to do with it? It's a mental problem. People are having mental issues. You know, it's a sympathy thing.
Oh, I agree.
And I just don't get it. There are China bans Bitcoin. Seriously? Big effing deal. What does that have to do with life or us? And Bitcoin falls 5,000. What in the world are you doing? Bitcoin's still Bitcoin. Okay. So they are looking at an ETF, and now everybody's all shaky in the knees because they're afraid the so-called Bitcoin ETF won't be approved. What does that have to do with Bitcoin? Nothing at all. And yet what we have is this psychological problem with the whole investment. Plan B, right. Scott Melker, the Wolf of All Streets, has made predictions, and I'm going to have to shoot from the hip on this because I didn't write it down. Got a picture in my phone of it because, of course, I've been talking to my family. He indicated that he thought that his August prediction, he hit it right on the head, which was like 47,000. Okay, his September prediction was like...
What is that now?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Maybe I got this backwards. But anyway, the point is this. See, I shouldn't leave this out. The point is his August and September predictions, based on his stock-to-flow model, which he created, it's some kind of an algorithmic program. He's hit them dead. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be right next month. But at the end of October, he's calling for 63,000. By the end of November, 98,000, I think. And by the end of December, 135,000. But anyway, I'm bringing this up because he literally pegged August and September. So it's worth talking about. So,
Bitcoin's at 47.7. But it's actually dropped from 48 down to that this morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those little what do you want to call them, ups and downs are to be expected. Yeah. Now, I'm thinking that he's right. You know, 68 would not surprise me at the end of the month. Not even
well. It's already been at 65.1. So you know, therein lies the. So here's the deal. And then after I get through these two points, I'll get going. So Bitcoin and Ethereum are basically. It is suggested by the people who study these things, about to experience or already in the first stages of supply shock. In other words. Their supplies are running thin on them. When we hit that wall, all hell is going to break loose, and the price will be unstoppable. We have also the same number of people suggesting that there's $300 trillion, as I've said, floating around the ethos space looking for a home, investment money. If just
yes,
seven trillion is they're thinking that 7 trillion is just waiting on one foot to jump into that market. So what you would do would be what you would do. Here's a neighbor with a big pot of flowers, but I know it's not for me. What you take, so you take 7 trillion, divide it by 21 million coins, and that would be the price at that point. And I meant to do that before the show, but I will tell you in all seriousness, I've got grandkids that interrupted my train of thought. So if you can divide 7 trillion by 21 million, that is where we would be. That's where we should be. And based on the projections by people who think they know. And I will leave it to you to determine whether or not you think they're correct. I guess that is about all that I needed to say this week, except for this. We have these supply chain anomalies. They're going to get worse. So, you know, act accordingly. You know, think, sit down, make a list, get a piece of paper and a pen, and sit down and write what it is that you would like to have in your possession for the next year if you couldn't get any more of it. And for God's sake, start the list with butter. Okay. All right, I got to get moving. Want a prayer before I disappear?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, and I would greatly appreciate it.
Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all of the other evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen. Shishinya.
Thank you, yeah. Dr. Rick.
Did you say shishini? Did you thank me in Chinese?
It.
I said shishinya. Thank you.
I thought I heard that. Oh, that was interesting. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Mandarin Chinese. Right. Have a good one, Rick.
Yeah, all right. Unfortunately, I speak that. All right, bye.
Okay.
Okay, so if bye-bye. Anyone wants to...
Okay.
Okay, if anyone wants to give us a call...
I'm
trying. Be quiet. Okay, our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. Just give us a call. Okay. You know, Rick was talking about his tomatoes. Right. We
you
still
know,
have...
I was thinking while Rick was talking, but I didn't want to interrupt him because he is putting out some great information. But, you know, one of the things I think we should stock up on, Laurie, for next year, for next spring, is more fertilizer, the antifungals, and stuff like that while we can still get it. You know, the supply chain isn't broken just between the U.S. and China. The supply chain is also breaking down in the U.S. You know,
oh, yeah.
Trucks are going down.
Well, yeah, that and the post office put out an announcement that not only are their deliveries going to be slower, the prices are going up. You know, that's another thing that's going to take time. So, like you and Rick mentioned earlier, if you want those Christmas presents and you want them on time, now's the time to order them and get them in, because if you wait, you won't get them in time if you get them at all. So, you know.
Right. And we're pushing the edge right now. In fact, I planned on talking to you and our daughter about that right after the show.
Mm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. Give us a call. Okay. Now, you know, I was trying to tell you a while ago that we still have tomatoes growing outside, and we still have our bell pepper plants doing really well. I know he's still there.
If it wasn't for daughter, though...
There he goes.
They'd be dead. She's been watering them a lot.
Well, these are the ones that are... Okay. Actually, the pot on top of the table out there.
All right. Are we all hooked up correct?
Yes, you are. Okay.
Folks, we did a little bit of change during the break where Rory hooked up to Skype, and I guess I jumped the gun on talking. But anyway, I think we got it worked out. But anyway, like Lori said, our call-in number is 528-8252. Give us a call. We'll talk about just about anything you want to. Before the break, Lori, I was mentioning one of the things I think you and I ought to stock is fertilizers and spray and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, and you're breaking up some. Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I think the elephant in the room is this supply chain disruption, mainly caused by the COVID BS. You know, we went for so long really importing very little. China was shut down. The U.S. was shut down. You know, our manufacturing was shut down. Theirs was to a certain point. And now there's this big, huge mass of orders both ways. Them importing our goods. We're importing their goods. And then we've got our own domestic supply, the next day's supply. Lori, I'm getting a lot of noise on your end. I'm breathing directly into the mic.
Nope.
Okay. But anyway, you know, I'm seeing these as problems. And these problems, even CNN mentioned it, are going to do nothing but get worse. And if CNN under Biden is talking about problems like this, it's got to be real. Otherwise, you know, Biden's gold, they wouldn't touch him. But they're even starting to, you know, give warnings.
So, well, I do know that...
You know, folks, I think... Go ahead, Lori.
I do know that... some of the manufacturing companies in China are going to be shutting down. I subscribe to a couple of the Chinese papers, and I get them on my phone, and I read it just, I believe it was yesterday, that they're closing down. I'm not sure what kind of manufacturing they are, or if it's something that is widely used here in the U.S. or, you know, nationwide, but they're starting to close down because they just don't have the materials to continue.
Or the electricity. We got a caller. We've got Mike in Kentucky on line one. Good morning,
Mike. Good
morning,
Mike.
Hey, Tim's just a little bit low compared to you there, Lori. And something that Rick was talking about earlier
I'm not gonna
is...
touch that one.
Huh?
I said I'm not going to touch that one. Go ahead.
Well, I'm tired volume-wise, but Rick, that's what I meant. Rick was... talking about the La Nina winter, and that's something I've looked at for quite a while. You know, it seems to come in cycles of it pairs up with the solar cycle, and there's usually 2 years in a row. And it looks like we're going to have a repeat.
Already?
Yeah, a repeat of last year's winter. Whatever you got last year, just count on the same, maybe worse.
Hmm. Mike.
Mike, we got a break. Hang on to the break, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Please hold on.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Mike, go ahead, hon.
Well, what Rick had mentioned, the Old Farmer's Almanac, they released that, shows basically most of the state of Kansas, the southern, northern Arkansas, and all but northern Missouri, all of Kentucky, West Virginia, western Pennsylvania, southern Ohio, southern Illinois, and Indiana, all but eastern Tennessee, big swath of cold and snowy winter. Now, what, like he said, you know, it's the almanac, but I look at also the projection from the Climate Prediction Center, and I think that's kind of what he was talking about. They have a long-range prognostication report that they issue usually about the third week of the month, you know, anywhere from the 18th to 21st or something like that. And it's from National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They look at things like soil moisture, soil temperature, and the surface temperature of the equatorial zone in the Pacific. And that's where you get your, you know, La Nina, El Nino cycles. They're saying it's less than a 5% chance that we could see an El Nino, which is kind of a joke, but it's 70 to 80% chance of another La Nina, and they do typically show up in two-year patterns. So when you get one, your chances are you're going to get another one the next year. So whatever people got last year, right, it may be the same repeat, but now there are some indications it could be worse. I just ran across a story, this Indian guy, you were talking about Native Americans where you're at, right? They're saying that a milder winter for you guys. Wasn't that what you were saying?
Right.
Tim?
That is correct.
I have a guy that's like Mi'kmaq, Mohawk, and Mohican, I think, plus he's part French, but I don't hold that against him. And he's been looking at the weather signs since he was a little boy, and he had a knack for it. His grandpa said it came, you know, it came with the territory. His grandpa was, I forget, Mohawk or something, but Iroquois Confederacy. They were all, you know, Iroquois Confederacy Indians. He kind of was a claim to fame out in Colorado when he lived out there for a while. He's ex-Navy, and he took some meteorology classes when he was in the Navy. Local newspaper, Weather Channel got interested in him. And, you know, he like others, he points out that when you look at the archaeology and what they call paleoclimatology, we're actually in an artificially abnormal warm period for the planet. It's called an interglacial. And so we're kind of between two ice ages, and the only question is, when is the ice age going to come back? And or how long ago were we in an ice age? I happen to think Ohio was underneath of a 2 mile thick ice sheet, maybe less than 6,000 years ago. I don't think people realize how long 1,000 years is. They can't comprehend it, and how long it would take for some of these mound builders to build some of the stuff that they've built in Ohio, like there's a serpent mound and different things, you know, that people think is, you know, 30,000 years old. Right. I don't know that it is. But the other thing that I look at is there's, when you consider that we really don't, I think, know human history like a lot of people think we do. And I happen to think that Noah's flood is entirely possible. The entire Earth is basically a ball of comet dust, you know. They found precursors to oil in the tails of comet. Halley's Comet had shell oil in its tail detected with a gas mass spectrometer back in 1986. And so the idea that all this oil and petroleum in the Earth is from dead dinosaurs is cast into doubt when you consider the methane that's all over the solar system, you know, and how it can be cooked up into petroleum. Anyway, point being, I think there's a lot of rubber rulers when they look back at our geologic history that they're not considering, because they don't want to consider that maybe we want the solar system.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Solar system wasn't even in the Milky Way maybe 10,000 years ago. That's what I have to wonder about. So we're experiencing a different astrophysics environment, like a lot more cosmic rays. And so when the sun goes on vacation like it is now, and if it continues to have a lack of sunspots and a lack of heliosphere, we get more cosmic rays, which can make more cloud formation, can make more volcanism happen, like that island out there. Was it Rick that had the vision? I called in about a couple of weeks ago with the... Rick had this vivid vision, right? And a dream that woke him up. And he went back to sleep, and it had hit him again with the law enforcement was telling him to bug out of his... grab what you can and leave. There's millions of people coming this way. Well, that kind of... You know, we talked about that. The dang island over there in off the coast of, in the Canary Islands, a tsunami is definitely a possibility, and you know, that kind of a thing would certainly wreak havoc not just within North America but all over the Atlantic and probably around the Northern Hemisphere. But the kind of geography that they look at, they've seen that there's evidence of past tsunamis that go maybe 100 miles inshore on eastern United States and all these type of massive events.
Yeah, I believe that's in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly, Mike.
What now?
I said I believe that was in Pennsylvania where they documented what you're talking about.
Well, in the coastal plain or whatever, yeah, on the out of the, you know, the evidence of past tsunamis that have occurred. And I think a long time ago I'd seen something on one of those learning channels or whatever, Discovery. I think they were showing evidence of it in the Carolinas. But, you know, if we don't get the sunspots cycle, the next sunspot cycle, I think, is supposed to be in 2023. If that doesn't come back to something average or significant, there's a lot of people looking at the patterns that have been observed over the last 500 years and going, this looks like the sun's going to go on vacation. We could see 60 years of a pattern that would be reduced food production and a lot of stuff that would be no good. You know, enhanced volcanism, more cloud coverage.
I agree with you.
So it's something to plan for, definitely, you know, for gardening. Did I ever tell you about the hot cones that I heard about? There's these things I saw years ago called hot cones. And they used some kind of a roofing material. Well, they used roofing material. You're breaking up.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, the plans that I saw for these, it was something like a popular mechanics book or whatever. Or maybe it was, I don't know, I can't remember where I saw them. But they took some kind of flexible plastic fiber material that was opaque. And they cut it out in the shape of, I don't know how you'd describe it. It was basically a semicircle. And you could fold it together, and the two ends, it only took three bolts or rivets to put together, and you had at the top, you had a circle that was maybe, I don't know, 5 inches to 6 inches at the top. It was open, and the base of it, it was cone. You ended up with a cone-shaped thing, and it showed them growing vegetables, probably anything that you could grow in colder weather, you know, in the snow, with snow almost to the top of the thing in Kansas throughout the winter, with these hot cones, the temperature of the earth, you know, remains the soil or whatever. It vents moisture and it vents heat, and so these hot cone things would extend the growing season tremendously for whatever, you know, vegetables, maybe things like bok choy and garlic and onions, you know. I had one year, my dad had onions that he had left in the ground. They rotted, and he had green onions in February and January one year. Because even snow and everything, they just kept coming up. And I never had seen that before. Yeah, but this is Kentucky. If you don't like the weather, just wait a while, you know. In my experience. In my experience, the subpolar jet is really fickle over here, and you can have 3 or 4 days in a row where it can be 68 or 70 degrees, and even after a big snow. And so I've been out when I was a youngster in my teen years. I'd be riding my bicycle at every opportunity in the wintertime. There'd still be ice and snow in the ditches, and you're riding a bicycle in shorts, you know, in January and February, 3 or 4 days here and there. You know, so if you're lucky enough to have that happen, you know, some stuff can still keep growing. I had tomatoes one year up until the day before Thanksgiving, and we had our first frost on November the 24th. And so I went out and gathered a whole bunch of, I had German tree tomatoes, and I gathered all the green ones. And I kept them in the fridge and rolled them around every time they got, like, lines on them where they were on a wire shelf. And on New Year's Eve, I had my last garden tomato that was grown outside. I mean, it was a tomato and cheese sandwich. But that was an exceptional year, I think. But if you're doing what you're talking about, you know, containers and stuff like that, then I think you can provoke your tomatoes to continue to bloom. There's a version called indeterminate potatoes and tomatoes that you can just keep on producing. I think that's what I've heard it called, indeterminate.
There is.
Yeah. So you can keep on digging. As long as you don't kill off the vine, you keep on digging potatoes all winter if you've got a warm enough setup, I guess.
Well, I haven't tried the potatoes, but we have done tomatoes.
You kept them going all winter?
I did.
Wow.
Hey, you'd be surprised. I even surprised my husband. I have a poinsettia he bought me 3 years ago, and it's still alive.
Wow. That sounds like what I've heard some pot growers do. They keep cloning their plant or play with the light cycles and get them to bloom. And it works with chickens, too, by the way. This time of the year, if you put a timer on your heat lamp or something in a chicken coop and you keep it, make sure you have 12 mm-hmm. hours of daylight on those. I had chickens laying eggs on New Year's Day. You had to get them before they froze and busted. But
true. They'd lay all night. We keep a red light in our hen house.
What kind of a light?
A red light.
Oh, a red light. Like a heat lamp?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a heat lamp. It's just a red bulb.
Same color.
Oh.
Chickens don't know any difference.
I couldn't hear what he said, but I think there must be a big delay in our lag time with Tim's audio. Over. Okay. Well, in
maybe,
any event,
maybe it's because I signed in.
I would just say to expect, you know. Well, and this weatherman Gene guy that I know, he's saying that you probably need two extra face cords of wood, a couple extra pickup loads of wood this winter if you heat with wood. That's how he assesses the winter for the last 20 years. He kind of got a claim to fame in Colorado where a lot of people heat with wood, and so that's how he tells you how bad the winter is. Two more truckloads of firewood over an average winter. So, talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Mike. You have a great winter.
All right. Thank you. All right. If everybody can hear me, which I hope they can, we're going to Kathleen in Texas on line 5 now.
Okay.
Hey, Lori and Tim, yep. and I know Rick is gone, and yep. I expect Mike to play his harmonica when he calls, so maybe he could do that next time. But anyway, the reason
he keeps saying he's going to.
Oh, good.
He did last week.
Oh, he did last week. Well, I think I missed it, but. Anyway, I'm calling because of Rick had talked about the double dig, not to, you know, till. And uh-huh. there was a book when our family lived in California. There was a book called The French Intensive Method of Farming by John Jevons, Jevons. So I'm sure you can find that, but so we had a raised bed and did this double dig where you didn't till the soil and used the compost, and we had the compost pile and everything. And we had, now that's California, so, but still we had cherry tomatoes crawling up those, wire things, the construction, what are those called? For
tomato cages?
Yes, cage. Yes. Great, Lori. But anyway, past Christmas. So now they didn't have many green leaves, but the cherry tomatoes were great. But I thought I would just mention that that book. So if people would like to get it, it's. It just so interesting to read about the whole structure of soil and how it can be ruined by tilling. But anyway, that's why I called. So God love you guys. Oh, also I love your music is the best, I think, on RBN. Or I mean, I'd like it anytime. It's just beautiful. So I really appreciate
you.
It.
Well,
okay,
you.
Well, I'd love you guys. You're in my prayers, and I really like the fact that Rick says that beautiful prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. Okay, take care.
Yeah, I
Thanks,
love
son.
That. Thank you, Kathleen. All right, folks, we got time for one more call. 512-248-8252. Lori, I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but
then don't do it.
This supply thing. Okay, you talk.
I was just kidding.
Gotcha.
I'm just one of those moods today, people.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, this supply thing's got me a little bit concerned, folks. Not for us. We got pretty much everything we need. But I'm worried about you folks. I hope you'll really take these supply issues seriously. You know, you don't got to can everything. You can buy canned goods. They're fairly cheap right now. I mean, not like they were 40 years ago when Lori and I got married. But basically, you know, 50, 60 cents a can, you can get a lot of canned vegetables. Buck and a half a piece, you can get a lot of canned soups in the big cans. This will help. It really will. And buy stuff you normally eat. You know, don't necessarily buy something in a can just because it's in a can. Buy stuff you like to eat, guys. You know, you take a kid or an old person, no matter how bad things are, you're not going to eat much or anything of stuff they don't like. So it's just something to think about.
True.
Lori, how about you throwing out some things that we've stocked up on?
Besides canned goods, we've stocked up on dry goods.
Yeah.
Like flour, wheat, rice.
Barley.
Barley, yep. We've stocked up on oatmeal.
Grits.
Oh, yeah. Got to have my grits. The eggs we got because we got the chickens. Wow. There's really a whole lot that we have stocked up on now that I think about it. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have extra seeds.
We got a whole
head. Yeah. We have extra seeds on hand that we keep in the refrigerator, like Rick does. And to be honest with you, the tomatoes that I'm growing, I couldn't tell you the brand name of them because it's some that I actually picked up at the grocery store one day, and I was making a tomato sandwich, and I just decided, okay, I'm just going to take a couple slices of this tomato because it tasted really good, and I just laid them on top of the soil and put a little bit of the soil on top of it, gave them a little bit of water, and I set them out there, and poof, you know, within like 2 days, they were sprouting. So I don't have an issue with not having a green thumb on that part. So anything that we seem to put in grows. The only problem is we weren't really paying attention closely to the ducks and the geese that we are raising. We're raising the big jumbo ducks.
Emden.
Yeah, the big, yeah, those.
Oh, and the white Emden geese.
Yeah, but the ducks
are
like...
we're raising jumbo pekins. Go ahead.
The jumbo pekins that we're raising are full grown at 12 weeks. And they're not little birds, people. They're big birds. They're a meat bird. And like I said, we're paying attention to them, and they started actually eating the greens. They were eating the tomato plants. They were eating my broccoli, my onions, my the cauliflower, the lettuce.
My peppers.
The peppers, yeah, the green beans that were growing, and they even hit the carrot tops, believe it or not. They just went to town on the garden. So there's a few things that we started over, we put in pots, and our bell peppers was one of them, and, of course, tomatoes. And I don't even think that our eggplants came up this year. I could be wrong. They could have gotten them too. For some reason, I don't know what it is. You know, I've never really seen wildlife go after tomato plants, you know, because they're a nightshade. But this year, the animals seem to be going after everything. So who knows? You know, the earth is changing.
Boy, isn't it? The weather changes to me are absolutely amazing. This time of year should be rainy.
It should. Which it is today.
It should be cooler than it is. At least here where we're at. You know, I can't talk about the rest of the world.
No, temperatures right now, the temperatures for us right now are about right. But I don't know.
Well,
man keeps going the way he's going, you know. I mean, you're destroying Mother Earth. Every time you turn around and pour a pound of concrete on top of her, how do you breathe through it? So, yeah, the Earth is bound to change, and the Earth is also bound to tilt its axle if there's too much weight on one side of it. And I know people don't stop and think about this thing, but, hey, I do, you know. To me, it's just kind of like common sense, you know. But, hey.
Well, you know, like Florida, where we grew up, Lori, you know, when we moved away from there more than 40 years ago, there wasn't a water problem. They were starting to talk about it, but there really wasn't a water problem. But now there's so much concrete in Florida that the water can't really go into the soil.
Nope.
You've got literally dozens of aquifers in Florida. And some of those aquifers are completely covered by concrete, or at least 50-60% covered in concrete. And people wonder why their wells are running dry.
True.
So you're absolutely right. It's weird.
It is weird.
It's like we're self-destructing.
Okay.
Now, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm absolutely not a tree hugger. But some things are just going over the line.
True. Okay, hon. We have just a couple of minutes left, so any closing thoughts?
Oh, I guess we are getting that time. Folks, I pray for our listeners every single day, or night, actually. Lori and I can always use your prayers, too. Prayer is powerful, very powerful. Folks, I hope you remember our sponsors. I hope you feel like buying a mosquito netting mask from Lori and I. RuralSurvival.life. RuralSurvival, all one word, .life. Hope you'll pay it a visit. Lots of links there. And we'll see you same time, same channel next week. Your turn, sweetie.
Just remember the young, the elderly. Of course, please remember our men and women in uniform and their families. Keep them in your prayers. Please keep our government in your prayers as well. Pray for the world. We need it. Pray for peace and love. And until then, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
God bless everybody.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You can't handle the truth.